Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and I'm very happy to be back here with an old friend.
Indeed.
It's been like 20 years since our
Isn't
last...
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. A flicker. It's been a flicker.
It seems that way.
Absolutely.
Because we're the same.
Of course. And we're different, but we have that thread.
Yeah.
So there is that connection that will always be there.
Mm.
Whatever bodies we're in.
That's the duality of time, isn't it?
Yeah. Although I would not use the duality, because I think humans are very addicted to duality.
Yeah.
I would say it's the pulse of time. In one of my first books, I talked about the curvature of time. And I feel that we're beginning to recognize that now. That, you know, we are in the past and we are in the future, mm-hmm. as well as the present. And they merge together. So we recognize each other.
Well, Chris is one of the first people I met who understood and introduced me to the idea of the multidimensional existence.
Exactly.
Because you've been a visionary that has lived on many of these planes. How can people listening understand this idea of multidimensionality?
You know, when you're children, you understand this. Not in the way of the mind, but in the way of experience. As children, we can look at a flower and feel that we're talking to it, or that an animal is looking at us and speaking to us in its consciousness. And we become very linear. And so we lose our sense of multidimensionality, but not the multidimensionality itself. Because the magic of life, the synergy of meeting people at the right time, of things occurring, that's all multidimensionality. It's coming forth from the unmanifest. Mm.
But, you know, I think psychology has done us a great disservice. Of course, it's helped us understand ourselves, but then it places... in our mind, the idea that it's all imagination, it's all made up.
Yes.
And that has stopped our shamanic integration of the greater mind.
But look what people are doing today. They're going beyond that. Movies are all about what
yes.
we can imagine.
Yes.
You know, and the interesting thing, Alan, is that science has yet to discover the source of imagination. Mm-hmm. We know parts of the brain that do this and that, but we cannot... capture the essence of imagination.
Yeah.
And in my work, I've recognized in terms of multidimensionality that whatever you imagine, your emotional body has a connection to it.
Mm. Yeah, we embrace the imagination. I mean, also, William Blake said the imagination is the highest form of perception.
Of course. And that will forever be true.
And, you know, the Aborigines talk about dream time.
That's right. It's what we focus on. So when you imagine something and you focus on it, you're actually pulling away the veil and opportuning yourself an experience of it. And it's that experience, my higher self says, that the only truth is what we experience. Mm. And so with imagination and multidimensionality, we can expand our repertoire. And that helps us to create new. Because this is a time with all of our mechanisms, you know, for us to... truly expand the horizons of possibility.
Mm. Mm-hmm. You just brush your hair back to there. Yes.
Okay. Ah, the hair. The Native American, you know, would say that we want to keep the hair because it holds our history.
And absolutely. I was so traumatized getting a haircut at under 1 year old. And
yes.
It just put me into... Yeah. No, I never wanted to get a haircut again.
Yeah, because when you were growing that hair, you know, we would say, oh, that's that the hair is dead. It's all about the lack of minerals or whatever. But from my perspective, the hair tells stories that are beyond this body. They might be the hair of your grandfather, you know. And what were his experiences that have come through you and you've inherited the hair or someone else. So that's that multidimensionality.
Right. I think we have to trust ourselves more. Trust
yes.
who we really are more.
Yes.
Trust the vision. We're all visionaries.
All of us. All of us are visionaries. And that's why I've been doing this incarnational work for so long, because...
Incarnational, past life.
Yeah, I never use the word past life. Sorry. Because when we look at the incarnations of the soul, we are seeing repertoire that is being played out in this lifetime with these people. And so there isn't that, again, that duality of this is past and it's gone. No, the past is playing itself upon the future through who we are today.
The past is playing itself. Right, so those incomplete aspects that have disturbed the soul in the past need to be completed.
Yes, and we are here with the joy of that completion, because completion is not an ending. It's an opening to a new beginning. I've been with many people at the moment of their death, and I have seen the soul leave. And when the body closes down, when the eyes become blank, and there is this shooting out through the eyes at the moment of death, and that's an expansion. It's a blast of energy back into the cosmos.
You know, yes, that's
so. It's a beginning.
No, my favorite quote by Edgar Cayce is, it's not a question of how much does that consciousness survive the death of the body, but how much does that vast consciousness survive the life of the body?
Yes.
How much does that expansiveness can be incarnate?
Yeah. And what opens the threshold to that is the possibility of wielding consciousness, wielding our mind's focus, so that we allow that possibility. See, children allow these things. And we need to set aside that, oh, that's only your imagination. And we need to allow the imagination, because you can only imagine what you have a frame of reference for.
Right. I think you can imagine, the artist imagines what they don't have a frame of reference for, in a sense.
Well, through their multidimensionality, they do.
Yes.
Maybe in this body, they don't see it in the world around them.
No, they don't understand it.
But they penetrate through the veils.
Yeah.
And something, all the repertoire, imagine the repertoire of many embodiments coming through, that allows them to see color, to see shapes, to see things that maybe are not even worldly.
Exactly. Beyond their concept, there's a...
their conscious awareness.
There's a precept. There's a perception that they don't... I think what I've been writing about the artists, they don't even understand.
Yeah. Well, understanding is the booby prize. Some great being said that, and I
Warner Earhart said that.
Yes. I absolutely agree that that is true, but knowing... it, and that's where experience comes in, when you have that sense of something. So when an artist begins to paint something, doesn't know why they're doing that painting, but something inside them knows it's real and brings it from the unmanifest to manifestation. And so our repertoire of possibility is infinite. And that's the purpose of embodiment, you know, to experience the evolution of the soul, the evolution of life, of energies, of possibility and relationship. I have a deep love both of Chinese medicine that says everything is connected to everything, and Einstein, who said relativity. The word relativity means so much to me.
What does it mean?
Well, it means that we can belong to everything. And when we belong to everything, and this is what the human sense, the human DNA hungers for, belonging. But really what it wants to belong to is the cosmos, because that's from which we come.
And we know we are part of that.
Yes.
We know it.
Yes.
And it's been educated, of course, and brainwashed and out of us to understand that. So your work is about
many
that.
Many of the movies that we're seeing today, you know, are about aliens. And I really don't like that word, because alien means it's separate from us, that we don't know it, and we do. We come from a galaxy. We are galactic.
Wow.
We are cosmic. And so we like to say, oh, that's alien to me, as if it's not worthy of me, or somehow
it's foreign to me.
It's foreign, and if I connected to it, it would change me, and I wouldn't like that. Instead of that wonderful openness, it says, what could I do with that? What could we do with the consciousness that flows through the cosmos beyond time and space as we recognize it?
That's very exciting.
Yes, it is.
When people have that perspective, anything is possible.
Everything is possible.
Everything is possible.
Everything is possible. And I've had the great gift of experiencing that in my life.
What? Which?
Many, many things that you would think are impossible. People at the brink of death coming back to life, choosing life. Things that don't seem to belong in our third dimensional world, and yet they are there. You know, I remember feeling that I was, that there was something wrong with me because I was tested when I was young because I was a strange little thing.
What do you mean you were tested?
Well, I was psychologically tested because I could hear your mind, and I thought you were speaking. And so I would answer your mind. Many children do this and many other things like that.
Right.
And so I always felt that there was something wrong with me until I was 30, and I confessed to one of my colleagues, a psychological experimenter, and he said, come into my laboratory. I want to show you something. And he had electrodes connected to rocks, and the rocks were pulsing. And he said, there's nothing wrong with you. All of life pulses.
All of life,
even rocks, have consciousness. Because when I was a child, you know, I felt that the rocks would talk to me. They'd say, take me over there, or take me over here. And as an adult, you might say, oh, what's the matter with her? But all children do this until somebody says, stop that.
You know what happened to me recently? It's sort of like that. I was going on the subway in New York, and right before I got on the subway, there was a card on the ground. There was like a little subway card on the ground. And I, you know, there's always cards on the ground, but this one just shone out at me, like, pick me up.
Yes.
So I said, you know, I don't like touching stuff on the ground because it's New York and it's so disgusting. But I picked this card up and I figured, okay, I'll use it. And it was like a month free pass.
Oh, look at that.
I know. It was like, and it just like spoke to me, that little subway card. Like, and, you know, that's just an example of trusting.
Yeah. Well, my higher self would say use life.
Yeah.
If something calls to you, if you can remove the mind saying, oh, it might be disgusting or dirty, and instead say, this is coming to me.
Yeah, it's
there's a purpose. There's a purpose in that, and look what it gave you.
I know. I mean, it's not a big deal, but it was something. It was a lesson that, like,
Alan, it was a kiss. And we can be kissed from nature. We can be kissed from consciousness. Imagine the person who held that card, because somebody put it on the ground. It didn't just appear on the
ground.
Or lost
it. Yeah, I know, right.
Somebody lost it to give it to you.
Yes, amazing. And, you know, things pop out at us.
That's right.
I was in somebody's apartment once, and I was just noticing this tree in the corner, this little big plant, and I said, that plant is special to you. And this woman says, yes, that plant was near death, and she nursed it back, and she has a special connection to this plant. And it's like, really? I mean, it just talked to
me.
And
you know, the cosmic giggle, it's been said forever, is that what you put out comes back. So there's this figure eight, there's this fantastic current of energy that happens there. So she healed the plant, and now that plant heals her. You know, that plant makes her feel good, that she has power. That she has that there's someone in the room with her.
Yes, there's a relationship.
That's right. And humans long for relationship.
With everything.
Kind.
I mean, that's the sadness of the modern world is we've lost our relationship with nature.
That's
right.
That's right.
Nature wants to reach out to us.
Yes. And in fact, just like a child that is left and unattended, nature becomes angry. And nature is influenced by our anger. And so Edgar Cayce said, this is the time of fire. And we're seeing all these volcanoes and all of this fire energy on the planet. What does fire do? It renews life, you know. And so nature is speaking to us and saying, let us dissolve away the anger and the war and the negativity of the past and come to a place where you can see our beauty. Mm-hmm. And nature is filled with beauty, even those volcanoes, and perhaps especially the fires, even the ones life. That are destructive to
it's
us.
The birth of life, of volcanic ash.
Our consciousness needs to expand beyond what we see in the present. Mm. I think all of us know that when we look back, so often we say, oh, thank heavens I didn't continue with that relationship or that job, or I had the courage to go on. But at the moment we say, I have to stay here because I won't know who I am.
Right, I'm committed, or, you know, I said I would, or this person will be upset.
Or I won't survive without what I have now. Mm. Humans do have this strange again, lack of trust that says, if I let go, I will lose everything. Instead of, I'm the source of my wealth, I'm the source of beauty, I'm the source of the future. Mm. And so we invest in the future, but only in a negative way. And
that's
I
good.
Really, yeah, I want to see us invest in the future with our consciousness in a positive way.
So we project the consciousness into the future.
The limitation of the consciousness.
But what we can do is project the possibility, the wonder.
That's right. All of the intensives that I'm having at the Light Institute this year have the theme, this new year, with the 1 year, all possibilities. Mm. Because the cosmos is coming at us at such a speed. We know that the auric field, that the electromagnetic field of the Earth is becoming thin. Mm. And so photon energy is coming into our planet, radiant energy, and it's stimulating our evolution.
And it's activating the natural DMT in
That's
our brain.
Right. It certainly is.
I mean, more people are visionaries. More people are waking up.
That's right.
I mean, you, of course, were ahead of the game.
Well, we're all ahead of the game. It's just what triggers us into knowing that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think of it as being ahead of the game, but I think of it as the exquisite possibility. And again, as I said before, my higher self, my inner voice, has always said, what is the gift? Mm-hmm. Use life. What can you do with this?
Use life.
We never have to be bored. You know,
when you say use life, explain that just a little bit.
Yeah, what I mean is whatever situation you're in, whatever's happening
whatever
to you.
Whatever life is giving you.
Whatever is coming, well, you're giving yourself, but that's a lot for us to recognize because we still have the negative and sense of responsibility. Mm. We feel that responsibility is attached to that Judeo-Christic ethic of blame, you know, and guilt, instead of the power of responsibility. I will give my best. I belong to this.
The power of responsibility. That is such a great way of reframing it.
Yes.
Because there is power.
Absolutely.
I mean, people think of it as a burden, but it's what we've incarnated
for. It whispers to us, use the gifts that you have. You are intelligent. You are needed. Mm. And you have something to give. And so if we take responsibility in that way, it's kind of like the little children's story, you know, the Chicken Little. Mm. I will do it. I will give something to it. And it's not yours how it comes out. Mm. You know, we don't have to be responsibility for the end result because once we put something out, it takes a life of its own and others are involved in it. But we must seed it. We must come forward and say, here's an idea, here's a possibility.
And if we do it to the best that we can, then we don't have to worry about the outcome because life has included us.
That's right. And we need that so much today. Mm. You know, with all of our technology, I watch this with young people. Their whole lives are about what they're texting.
Oh, yeah.
And they're much safer saying things to each other through a text. Aren't we all?
Yes, I think so.
Instead of looking into the eyes of another person and actually being able to speak our truth. Or what we want to communicate. And so we're not going to change that, but we could amplify it.
Right.
My higher self says that in the future, technology will be organic.
I think in a way, biology is an organic technology.
That's right. You know, of course it is.
The thing I do want to say about texting is sometimes you get a text and you get the psychic imprint of the text.
Yes, you do. Thank you. That is true. Absolutely.
And they could say something simple and it's like, oh, like you get it, you know?
And even I love all those little smiley figures and all of the little emotional things because they can transmit to me. Sometimes I have to say something to someone that might seem, without hearing my voice, it might seem a little bit harsh or somehow shortened and not have the hologram of it. So then I put a little smiley or I put a little laughter or I put a little spiral to the cosmos and I know that it softens it for them. I know that it says to them, it's okay, I'm here with you.
But you know what texting is? It's a singularity of the dimensions. When I talk to you in person, I am getting the multidimensional you.
That's right.
So I can limit this communication to just these words.
Yes.
The texting you can, but the in-person, incarnational exchange.
Multidimensional.
All around.
Holographic.
There's so much happening in our psychic space.
And people don't realize, they don't honor that in themselves. Mm. And talk about trust. Trust your intuition that you're not only watching someone's words, but you're watching their expression. You're seeing their soul. You're feeling their heart. Mm. And when you feel someone's heart, your heart connects. And this is important, you know.
Yeah, there's the resonance of the heart.
That's
and there's the union of our fields.
That's right, which is fantastic.
Yes, we're one being in this communication.
And to go back to nature. Mm. Nature is alive, you know. And when we first met, if you said, I'm a tree hugger, people would say, disregard that person in their conversation. Mm. But today people would say, yes, I love the trees as well. Mm. You know. And so what I want to say to the world is that, talk about using life from a tree, from a dog, and people understand from a dog, from all of nature, from the wind, you can have that sense of having a conversation, of being included, of being touched. Mm. We need to be touched.
Yes. I was going to tell them just that. But what I really want to talk to you about is, you know, for the last 20, 30 years, you've been a wise woman. You've been on the wise woman path, leading people, helping them experience incarnation. What has been your internal process? I mean, when we talked 20 years ago, you were already very in touch. In these last 20 years, what's deepened for you? What's been shining out? What has come through that you didn't know 20 years ago? What's been your process?
Oh, my. I think that I would come first with the concept that I feel that we are all more cosmic, that the cosmos is coming in to us and activating our intelligence and our wisdom for everyone. And so I have a sense, it's an expanded horizon, that when I look at you, I don't see just Alan the man. I see Alan the cosmic being, and that this has meaning to me. It's not just the fantasy of, do we have galactic DNA? But again, it's, where does it pop into our life, and how can we turn that? So my work has always been about reflecting back, and this is what incarnational work does, reflecting back to someone. You're so much more than your daily life makes you think you are. And so it's the invitation to see yourself in that way, to know that you can come up with an idea, that you can get over a hurt, that you can imagine that you could come from a different dimension and use that. My great-grandfather, who was one of the most important people in my life, always said, anchor the sky. So as we expand our technology, as we realize that we are global beings, just to begin with, what happens to you across the planet, it's happening to me on some level of my being.
And instantly we know about it through the internet.
That's right.
That's the magic of
But we know about the actions. Mm. And as I was saying before, this problem with history is that we don't necessarily know the deep spiritual result of those actions, and we need to know that. Mm-hmm. So my work with a spirit as a spiritual leader, if I might say, is to reflect again that our spiritual energy says that we are unlimited, mm-hmm. and that we are connected, and that we have resources that are beyond the limitation of what we do every day. And my higher self would say, take what you do. Maybe you're just driving in traffic or sitting in the subway. Look around and see what you want to give to the world. Mm. So I think in this last 20 years, I've really begun to access the power of the giver. Mm. If you see someone who's homeless in the subway, you can send light to that person. You can look at that person. I used to do this with my children. What do you think that person is thinking? What is that person feeling? Who is that person? Mm. Because when we look at multidimensionality, that person might have been a great being, a powerful magician. Maybe they used it badly and they're punishing themselves.
You know what I look for on the subway? I look for the God in that person. I look
there
for
you the, are. That's the, my favorite thing.
The light that's that right. is eternal.
And that's in that what person. Happens if you look through the outside. Yeah. Here's this guy, you know, or woman or child,
yeah,
you know,
homeless.
Looking like a victim.
Yes.
But only the limitation of their consciousness has caused them to feel that that's what they deserve, that that's who they are. But if you see, and a great guru said that once, and that was the thing that I've carried, see God in each other. Of course, my concept of God is a little different, but see that divine
what
energy.
What is your concept of God?
Well, I think it's very quaint of
no,
humans
it's okay.
to only see God in our own form. And of course, as a woman, as I said, I wrote a book called The Evolution of God. As a woman, I would say, you know, all of that chatter in a male vernacular, how does that make us? How am I the image of God if I'm in a female form and you see it only in a male form?
Well,
you
know? All religion is such dogma that doesn't relate to galactic times.
That's right. And okay. for me to, and I love science now because it is piercing the veil that our consciousness has been able to pierce before, that our psychic, intuitive, human attributes have always offered to us to see that, of course, we're not alone in the cosmos. Mm. And if we're not alone, then what are those forms of consciousness, of sentience? And as we see that, then God changes. Mm. I always say, imagine your children or your grandchildren going out into space, just like the astronauts have done now. Their concept of God has gone beyond this punishing God, this human form of God. And so let us begin that. And as we see that, we'll begin to release some of that dogma that say this is good and this is not good. Because I had a divinity school for 16 years, and we never used the word God, we never used the word belief. We expanded that so that we could touch that energy in a more profound way.
So I'm just getting, when you say we're galactic, we aren't limiting ourselves even by the word human or earthling. We're making available to consciousness a greater facility.
Thank you, Alan. It's so true. You know, we must begin to see ourselves in relationship to the cosmos. We are made of carbon atoms, as are the stars. You know, and as are any other sentient energies that inhabit stars, which have planets around them. And so as we expand from our human DNA to our galactic DNA to our angelic and devic DNA, we can see ourselves differently, and we can relate to that. Again, if you imagine that you are a galactic being, that you have that, what is DNA? It's simply a structure. It's a matrix that gives you possibility. So if we allow that, what could it do for us?
Well, let's go into that with you, if you don't mind, because I'm interested in the levels of perception, and you can go as far out as you want.
I don't want to scare you.
No, scare them, because that plants seeds of possibility, because in your work and in your personal visionary experience, you are seeing more than you ever have. And
yes, I am.
I want to know what that is. I want you to scare us. No, not scare us, but I want you to awaken.
What I want to say is that each of you has a repertoire that is beyond what you perceive in yourselves now. I wrote a book called Psychogenetics, The Force of Heredity. And I talked about if incarnation scares somebody, think about your great-great-great-grandparents, your forefathers. Were they shaman? Mm. How did they see God? How did they see themselves in relationship to nature? You have inherited that.
Right.
You have inherited that. We have, in some aspects of our history, stories of great beings coming down, light beings coming down. So I always want to say that as we expand into the cosmos, we want to bring it into our human form, because our human form is changing. Mm. There's so much radiation going on right now. Right now it may be causing cancer, but if you quicken, if you allow yourself to feel that you are a galactic, for example, mm-hmm. Your radiance will increase, mm-hmm. and that will allow you to connect to other worlds and other energies.
Yeah.
And so instead of being hurt by energies that are stronger than you, you can relate to energies that are stronger than you.
Well, you know, cosmic radiation is the engine of evolution.
That's right.
And that's how things evolve, with these pulsations of blasts of cosmic energy. That's why it's quantum evolution.
I love that you say that.
Yeah,
I love that you say that. It's so true.
I that's my understanding, because there's, gaps where all of a sudden things burst and there's a new species overnight, practically.
And what that does, that blast,
yeah.
that radiant blast, and what it does is it expands the consciousness so that it begins to be able to absorb and receive energies that change who we are.
It actually expands God. I mean, it's the engines of the God's evolutionary creation.
That's right.
Creation.
To imagine that your source, that which created you, is stale and does not change, is ludicrous. Mm. Even with our intelligence today. That's why I wrote that book, The Evolution of God. Because as we evolve, my concept of the purpose of life, the evolution of the soul, is that God grows through you. Our thoughts, our experiences, what we can imagine in mm-hmm. this lifetime, goes from the manifest to the unmanifest. Mm-hmm. And it influences future. It changes the flow of the cosmos. It amplifies it.
Right. I had a teacher that said, God only knows what you know.
That's right. So get about it.
But as we make known the unknown.
That's right.
Which is our incarnational role and gift.
That's right.
Then it's the evolution of consciousness
and
itself.
And that comes through experience. Mm. So we needn't be afraid to be in our bodies, but to allow the bodies to experience. The more we do that, the more the old stiff energies fall away. What is good, what is bad, what is allowed, what is verboten, all of that. It falls away. And we feel, we begin to relate to what's called the unknown. You know, in my vernacular, there is no unknown. What is unknown to you does not exist. Mm. It does not exist for you because you have no relationship to
it. And then
it.
How do we know more? Because doesn't it come into
we
us?
We experience it. Because everything is related to everything. Mm-hmm. It's relativity. You have an experience, and it has 1,000 aspects connected to it, and it opens you to that. When I began this work, I began with the emotional body, because I saw that the emotional body only functions through association. Mm-hmm. It associates. It takes this experience, and then it attaches to it others that seem like it. And as it goes out, you know, associating, new things start to come in, and awareness and consciousness expands.
And they're also proving that in neurophysiology, neurons that fire together, wire together, so we have these associations. So now, in your process.
Yes. you keep getting back to me.
No, I keep getting back to it because I'm really interested. Because you were at the forefront. I mean, you were where a lot of people, you were 20 years ago, where a lot of people are just now awakening to this multi-dimension. So I want to know, do you feel you're getting closer to something? something, to an another awakening.
You know, it's not, and humans have this little foible, mm-hmm. is that we always see everything in the future, like mm-hmm. if I could just get there. What I have found is that if, as you relax, mm-hmm. there will come to you. I had a beautiful experience, if I can tell this little short story.
Yes, please.
I took some people to Sedona, which is well known for its vortexes and its connection to other dimensions. And the red rocks heal the heart.
They do.
It's a wonderful place. And so I did an intensive there that was about freedom. Freedom in the body, freedom in life, freedom in all levels. And I took people to the various vortexes. My father's lived there for 45 years, mm-hmm. and so I know Sedona very well.
Your father did?
My father did.
Before it was the hot...
Almost 50 West. Years. That's right. Way before that. But I took them to a vortex, a special vortex, which I'm not going to say at the moment. But it is a portal. It's not just a vortex. It's a portal. Mm. And this is my own process. A long time ago, when Stever, I can't remember his name, the guy that wrote the book about the Greys, and it had the picture of the Greys on it.
Oh, Whitley Strieber.
Yeah, that's right.
Great guy, just
yes.
had lunch with him.
Yeah, well, I'd love to have a chat with him. Anyway, years ago, I had seen the cover of that book mm-hmm. and the conversation of the Greys. And over the 20 years, I have seen that our consciousness has changed the DNA of Greys, by the way.
Really?
That's another conversation.
Wow.
But, at that time, I had a negative experience with galactic energies touching into my brain in a very symbolic and limited. I was very insulted that that's what they thought humans were.
Were these the Greys?
I don't know who they were,
okay.
but they were tapping into my brain, and they didn't get what humans were. And then after that, one night I was awakened by three beings who were white and had those big eyes mm-hmm. like the Greys, but they were white, and they touched my brain. And again, through my death experiences, I have felt love. I felt universal love. Mm-hmm. And they tapped into my brain in that way. And I awakened, and I saw them just like I'm looking at you. Mm-hmm. You sweet little guys at the end of my bed. And I said, go away, you must be the Greys. Look at those eyes, go away. You know, and I sent them away. And then my inner voice, my higher self, stopped me and said, they came for your help. Mm. And you sent them away because you could not see. And it broke my heart. And I wanted them to come back. I didn't know how I could help them, but I wanted them to come back, and nothing happened. When... Just a month ago from now? Yes.
Oh.
I took these people into this portal. Mm-hmm. It actually pulled us into the portal. You could, just like in New Mexico, you can feel the radiation that comes from Los Alamos. Mm-hmm. You come close to this vortex, mm-hmm. and it begins to pull you in. Yeah. And we sat and we projected into the portal. And who was there? But those three beings.
Beautiful.
And also some very tall other beings. And it was a completion for me. It was an opportunity to now fulfill something that I had not fulfilled because of my fear, because I had a construct that someone else had placed in my mind where I didn't, and this is important conversation. Mm-hmm. Go into your own self and say, is this true? When people ask me, should I eat this? What should I do for health? I always say, ask your body. The body never lies.
Absolutely.
What's good for you might be poison for someone else. Trust you. There are guidelines, of course.
So what did you say to these beings, though? Or what was the exchange?
That's a conversation. That's a deep conversation.
Oh, just a little bit.
It really was them asking me, perhaps you are being the facilitator mm-hmm. of that, asking me to now speak about conscious energies that are in different shapes than us, but are us. Mm-hmm. And I think that the bottom line is that the galactics, we are the galactics. So when we're saying, will God help us? Will galactics help us? Will angels help us? We are the angels. We are the galactics. We are the God. And that was their message to me, to please show people how to relate, how to come into contact with that, and know that it is within you and not necessarily outside you. Because in today's world right now, you know, we're fussing about who's running our country, who's running the world. We're running the world.
a bigger level than politics.
And we can influence politics through a higher level of consciousness. Humans love to be the victim. We love to whine. And those three beings were embracing me. First of all, they were filling me with that kind of cosmic multiverse energy, if you will, that expresses part of why a soul comes to humanness or this planet. We are the planet of the heart. It's why the Mayans and the Incans were cutting out hearts. Because. They were cutting out hearts because galactics had lost, this is something that I have been taught or told by them, that it wasn't this terrible thing of, you know, cutting out the hearts, but that they were doing that because the galactics were attempting to reintroduce human heart DNA, emotional DNA into galactic civilizations.
Well, that's why they've been abducting humans.
Of course. And by the way, I've worked with some of the most famous abductees in the world. Mm-hmm. And the surprising energy is that 100% of the time, they are who's abducting them. It's their own group that is abducting them.
I believe that.
Because they have had a mission to come down to be the body that is taken up, that's fiddled with, you know, all this stuff about sexuality. Sexuality, that's a whole long conversation.
Oh, we should have that conversation too.
We should. All humans should have that conversation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they say, oh, I was, you know, they fiddled with my sexuality. Well, of course, your sexual organs, your sexual energy is the closest energy to spirit because that's the only way at this point you get into body. And so it's the perfect genetic encapsulation.
And they need that from us. They don't have the facility anymore, at least some of the grays, to reproduce.
And beyond the grays.
Yeah.
Beyond the grays. I once had an experience, and many people have, of having an embryo inside taken by galactics, by a beautiful galactic group that looked like angels, but they were gray and very large and huge wings. Some of you may have perceived them, who are unable to reproduce. And so they were doing that same thing. So this is a pattern. You know, it's like, come back to the Immaculate Conception. Egyptians and other civilizations spoke of Immaculate Conception long before Christianity. Because, and what is Immaculate Conception? It is a higher energy being seeded into humanity.
Well, in a way, all conception's immaculate, isn't it?
Of course, it really is, on that level.
But let me just ask you what you just said before about the grays evolving through our consciousness, because I'm writing about that.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, so I want to know.
I don't know if Streamer would agree with me, but I have to say, again, I have been doing incarnational work for 60, about to be 61 years. Right. So I have had the access to dimensional frequencies that are spectacular. Mm. And again, in the same context that God grows through you, or I call it the divine source, is always evolving, that the multiverses are evolving, that why would we think that the grays are the bad guys and that they're only there to scare us or take our stuff?
Streamer would agree, because he's evolved his relationship and his understanding.
Yes.
And he's actually said in his last book, what's this last book? Supernatural, that what we think are ETs or grays are really just a concept we could, you know, relate to, but that's not what they are. They're way beyond what we can imagine.
And here is the difficulty, and this is the essence of my evolution and my teaching, is that humans, somehow in our genetic encoding, in our experiences, back to almost the beginning, have had this smallness that have said we have to be fed from the outside, so we've never opened to the actual source. I mean, if you could imagine that, and why couldn't you, that you are a part of divine energy, how else would you get here? You know, if there weren't some aspect that could influence creation, you know, you wouldn't be here. So to think of the grays, so humans think of galactics or aliens or ETs as an energy that impinges upon us.
Well, some do. Yeah, some people think
that. Yeah, because
that.
They don't recognize their own galactic energy, that we right. impinge upon them. So again, as quantum physics says, the observed is changed by the observer. So when Whitney did that wonderful thing of opening up that conversation and helping people to say, yes, when I was a child, I had those experiences, and amplifying that. Well, now we have to go from the fear of it into the truth of it, which is that you are the galactics. You are, you agreed to be that vehicle, that embodiment that would help your own, not your enemies, not something stronger than you, but something you belong to. And 100% of the people that I have worked with, when I have asked their higher self, show you why this has happened to you. Again, it has not been the unknown. It has been, oh, I said I would. Why did you say you would? Because I am them. Yeah. They are myself.
Yeah, no, the fear is the human ego, like fragile limitation that then gets shattered when we meet them.
And when I started, that's how I started my work, Alan, was that I saw that the emotional body was separate and small. And so it enacted the evolution, the survival energy
right.
of primordial man who was separate from the divine, who began to see it only as separate and more powerful than the self. Mm. So I realized then, I had the illumination, that it isn't kill the ego. It is nourish the ego, allow the ego to be part of the whole, to be part of the cosmos. So we need to not flip out of our bodies. Mm-hmm. We need to anchor the sky, as my great-grandfather said. We need to bring in galactic, angelic, multiverse energies, cosmic. I love the word cosmic. You know, if you say cosmic. Galactic, we think structure. When I was young, I used to disregard galactic because I thought of it as metal. Mm-hmm. I thought of it as so far from human. So, but as I began to see it as cosmic, then I could relate to it in any of the multidimensional aspects of myself.
Well, I think what you just said sort of sums up for me your work about the primal man,
yes.
human, living in the fear
yes.
of its own limitation
yes.
as we evolve from simple beings. We took that fear with us and forgot the overlay of the divine that's been encoded.
That's right.
And so this
that's
is
right.
the time of awakening.
And this is why we are seeing so much war. Mm. We are seeing so much
why?
Because at this point, this pivotal point in our evolution as a species, as a part of the cosmic community, we must let go of the illusion of survival.
Yeah.
I think that's why, you know, we say, why does something happen to you? Why did I learn about incarnations from an experiential octave, not an intellectual
and
octave?
Six near-death experiences.
It's just, which happened when I was a child. That let me know right away that there's more than this.
Right.
But that I learned about incarnations as a way of recognizing that you can tap into that, you know? And when we tap into that, that is beginning to imprint human consciousness away from survival. You will survive beyond this body that you carry.
Survival is ensured on the consciousness level.
And that's right.
We get caught up in the smallness. Yes. And we get...
Even in these bodies, you know, here we are trying to kill each other off. That has to stop.
It's awful.
You know, and that is that is simply... My own higher self has said, especially in the Middle East, there was so much bloodshed.
Mm.
There was so much hatred of embodiment there that is coming to the surface because the earth itself has said to me, I'm smothering. I cannot shift and evolve as an earth, as Gaia, until you clear away all of the human blood that is influenced. And so instead of seeing the evolution of that, right now we're seeing the repetition of that. But connected to the repetition of that is the evolution of that.
Yes, of course. And it has to be played out.
Absolutely.
Eventually.
And not even
it's like
eventually.
Lifetime.
You're doing
you do
it
the
now.
Same thing every lifetime until you get it, right?
That's right. Well, there's a little shift each time.
Yes. And
so we repeat, but we repeat because we're intelligent. We repeat with a little glimmer, a little flicker of light
but
that helps
Middle Eastern
us.
Wars are like that repeat with a maybe a little glimmer.
Well, we're not seeing the glimmer right now.
No.
But what's happening is that people around the world are beginning to come together. Young people are beginning to come together and say, we're not afraid of you. You're not all this. You know, we can relate to you. And I always say that if you sit with your enemy and you say, what's important to you? They will say, peace. Peace meaning a safety, food for my children, love and safety for my children. And I could say, this is true of myself. This
That's
is true of
Marshall Rosenberg proved that with, you know, nonviolent, that everyone has the same needs.
That's right.
We just
and
have
if we talk
strategies.
About that, we can say, you know, I can help you to have that for your children. Let us bring our children together. Mm. And people are doing that around the world. I can remember being in Russia when invited by a group of Jewish people and who helped me with this group called Club Healthy Family that came from around Russia to talk about our humanity and our health. And then suddenly Russia started pushing them out, repetition of old patterns. And I love this specific woman, this beautiful woman who went back to Israel and started again taking young people from other groups and putting them together and allowing the young people to say, I'm not afraid of you. Mm. And, you know, you like texting, I like texting. you like food, I like food. Mm. And suddenly there is this, and it's growing in the planet.
So what do you see now, I mean, wrapping up, because I know you have some sessions to do.
You and I could talk forever.
Yes, and we'll hopefully continue.
again.
I will come out to New Mexico.
Please
and
do.
We will.
Please
continue.
Do.
Chris
New
in
Mexico,
Galis-
you know, and Galisteo. I chose to have my center there because it is a literal window to the sky.
Mm.
And people can feel that expansion. Even the wind that blows on you there will blow your ego, will blow your auric field into a bigger perspective. So do come.
But I will. But what do you see now as a visionary for yourself also and the future? Where... What are we closer to now than we've ever been before? And what do you...
We are at the precipice.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the precipice where we make choice. And one of my favorite words, Alan, is choice.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is a choice. We have a choice to choose. We are creating our future now. So in this limited perspective that we have, we feel like the world is falling apart. We know that environmentally we are definitely at a precipice. Mm-hmm. We must act now on a new level. What I see is that at this dangerous moment that seems as if it's closing in, there will be a new seeding. There will be a new point of enlightenment that doesn't have to do with the danger of not surviving, but the power of, again, bringing in possibility, and people will stop being invisible. What I see, and I see this in what we see is the opposite. We see the opposite right now. We see people killing off other cultures and people who believe in the same God killing them off.
Yeah.
What I see is that is the end. That is an ending. And what is coming now is that we are beginning to realize that when we come together and we use our psychic capacities, our spiritual capacities, we are dissolving the illusion of our separation. We think we're sitting in two bodies here. We're actually sitting in one body.
Yes, we're in a field.
And so what I see in the future is more and more coming together. Now, humans, again, and have a little trouble with that because we have trouble with trust. And that's why we're being pushed to this place where we have to cooperate. Mm-hmm. What happens to you happens to me. And even if that is a survival concept inside me that says, I better help you, because if I don't help you, I will not be here. And so we can use the old framework. From the old comes the new. The new doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes out of some point that's been hidden. And what I see as a visionary is I see the opening of the human heart. You know, we started down in the Tan Tien, and we went from the Tan Tien to the emotional body, to that opening of the heart, and now we're in this place of the throat in our evolutionary passage. And the throat is the wisdom coming in to be communicated and the heart lifting to be shown. Mm-hmm. So we're in a place where humanity, the experience of humanity is about to break free. And I see that we will, and I have seen it many times before, always in tragedy, always in an earthquake, in a hurricane, in destruction and death, humans coming together and supporting each other. I see human consciousness finding the answers. And please allow me to say one final thing. And talking about the environment, because I know that the beauty that we see in nature heals us. And as we heal nature, we heal our humanity. And I have started a project called Global Warming Initiative. Global Initiative. It comes out of an old project I had many years ago, which was called Human Potential and Global Responsibility. Responsibility in that beautiful sense. And that became Human Nature Alliance ECHO, S-O-S. Mm-hmm. And you can find that. It's free. I need millions of people to join. And what that is something that we've never done before. And that is, instead of waiting for technology to change nature, or the gods to change nature, or to change our lives, to somehow help us, it has to come from us now. And so what I am bringing forward is to use the consciousness that we have, your everyday consciousness. All humans manifest all the time. We manifest something we need in a day, an idea that we have. We bring it forward into the world. We allow it to be visible instead of the radiance and the power of the human auric field, the human consciousness to come forward. And so this project is using your mind, if you will, your mind, the focus of your mind, to look up into the sky and dissolve the excess carbon dioxide. We don't have to become Venus, a planet of gases. We can preserve our oceans.
So allow us to dissolve the... how do we do that? How do we
It's
focus?
So simple.
Yeah,
and I'm going to be giving a number of what I call technology of consciousness to those that are joining that.
To dissolve dissolve
it. But basically, I could say to all of you, it's really nothing more than perhaps you could begin by imagining a beautiful blue sky, and in penetrating that blue sky, and feeling the molecules of carbon dioxide, allowing them to demanifest, to move back into demanifestation, so that there is a balance, so that the seas can absorb more carbon dioxide, so that the plants, the gift of the trees on this planet, can bring about that balance within us. It's very simple. And if we cooperate, if we recognize the power of our collected consciousness, we can not only change something, but through that change, through that motion of evolution, the spiral of evolution, we can bring about a new reality on this planet. Not just balancing so that we don't snuff out human life and perhaps all a life that uses breath, that uses oxygen. Rather than snuffing that out, we can participate in the evolution of new species and new ways of humanity. And I'm very excited about this. I see it in my visionary mind. Mm. I see this. I see it happening now. It just happened in the United States when something that was impossible and had been said, this will not happen. Mm. And suddenly, through the blessing of the internet and our capacity to connect with each other, millions of people blended their consciousness. This happened at Standing Rock. And instead of going back, let me speak about this for a second.
Yes, please.
Instead of going back to where we began as we came into what we call the United States, and we punished the people who had loved nature and had protected the balance here and had lived here, we took all that away from them. We took their religion away from them by taking their sense of self away from them. And we did that again in Standing Rock. We repeated the past symbolically and physically. Those who have said, our waters are sacred. We're made of water. We must protect our waters. And it was said, it cannot be done. The forces that be, the powers that be, will not stop. And it didn't stop when the president asked for it, for example. When one person asked for it, it did not stop. But when millions of people gathered together and simply projected their consciousness, allow it, not blaming, not saying these are the bad guys, but saying stop and bring about a new balance. What happened? Suddenly, out of nowhere, it stopped. This is what I see as a visionary, the power of collective consciousness, not dissolving away as Galactus have done, not dissolving away the power and the beauty and the sacredness of our individuality, but of our individuation, if you will, but allowing the higher octaves of our possibility and our potential to combine and direct in a single stream, and I love the word streaming, of consciousness into something that we can work in harmony with nature to change for the good of the whole, as Spock would say. And that's my ending. That's what I want to give to all of you, to inspire yourselves to commune and to align with things that are bigger than you, that belong to you, that are so much the purpose of you being here. The purpose of you being here is not just to clear your karma, but to use the powerful karma that belongs to you from your many incarnations. Use it now.
Yeah, clearing your karma just gets you to ground zero.
That's right, ground zero level.
But so in the Standing Rock case, we were going back in that cyclical pattern, and we leaped. We healed it.
We jumped off the precipice. And it changed everyone who signed the petition, everyone who meditated or thought about it or agreed with it, changed this for the good of the whole. Everyone who did it were changed themselves because they experienced it.
And you know, I think social media, mass media.
That's right.
You know, citizen media.
We are citizens of the world.
Right, but you know, because of things like the internet, you know, the mainstream television wasn't reporting. They were saying these are protesters. And if you listen to the social media, say, no, these are water protectors.
That's right. And again, each one of us doesn't have to listen to someone else tell us the story. That's what I learned when I sent those beings, those sentient beings away. It taught me, why did you not listen to what you knew? I felt the love, I felt the truth, and I did not listen to it.
Yeah.
And that is taking us to the next step of the power of our individuation that can then, from there, allow us without fear to blend together and use that kind of power.
So what's your next step? What do you see for yourself? I mean,
I am working on amplifying my visibility in ways that allow me to walk within my own truth as I invite everyone else to be seen as my true self, to be able to bilocate, to transmit energies. I taught a course on transmission. I feel that all of us transmit, but we transmit unconsciously. I want to amplify my own growth now, is to be able to amplify a transmission that, my favorite story is Johnny Appleseed, that you put the seed. So my evolution and my purpose now is to become aware of more seeds of evolution. spiritual evolution, the evolution of nature, the evolution of oneness, and to see that, not to feel that they have to see it through me.
You are a transmitter. When people are in your field, in your sessions, they get the incarnational experience without you saying anything.
And they get it through them. Yeah. And that's what I love. I'm not here to. I am a template. We are each and all templates. We are each and all the apex of our pyramid, you know. But it's to transmit to them that they have that within them, that they can transmit, that they are agents of change through their own experiences, and to help them to feel the power of that. And that's why I do incarnational work, for them to feel it themselves, not me telling them or even showing them, but allowing them to see what is true for them. Yeah. And I always said to my students, speak your truth, but know that it will change tomorrow. Mm. As you change, as you see a bigger horizon, you will see new truths.
Thank you for showing people bigger horizons.
Thank you for helping me to do it, facilitating that.
That is our work.
It is our work together.
It is, because there's something great possible for humanity.
That's right. And I know that. And I experience that. I see that in people. As you said, you see that divine energy.
You see it, and when you see it in somebody, you hold that space for them, they rise to that occasion.
They do. And then you sit back and you enjoy the beauty of that and the magic of it. There's magic in this world, and it's coming forward. And that's why we long for it, and that's why we want to see it or hear it. And hopefully you have seen some of that today. Well, and you will take your own magic and seed it out into the world. Great love.
Thank you.
My honor.
We will continue.
We will. Oh, absolutely. Great love. Great love.
Thank you for your time and for your work and for your vision about what's possible.
And it's all there. And that possibility is coming at us at an amazing speed becoming manifest.
So be it.
So be it. So be it.
It's Alan Steinfeld with Chris Grissom from the Light Institute in Galisteo, New Mexico. What's your website?
www.lightinstitute.com, I believe. Or the Global Initiative. .com or chrisgriscom.com will bring you into all of those circles and circles upon circles.
Look for Chris. She is going to be out there even more because you've kind of been behind the scenes.
Yes, it's time to expand that.
Totally time.
Yes. And this and what you have done and do is the gift for us all. You give us the voice. And I am very, very grateful for that, Alan.
Thank you. Thank you. Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and for me, I am changed with each interview. I am encoded with new information that makes me expand more.
Wonderful. Look out, world. Here he comes.
Okay. Talk to you next time. Thanks for watching.